Hello and welcome to the Outlander Sasnack fan podcast. I'm Ajleen.
I am Gracie.
And it is just a podcast where we talk about the latest episode of Outlander and all the things that might have happened during the week with the Outlander community and just stuff like that.
Yep.
Well,
this week's episode was written by Diana Gabaldon.
Yes.
So I was
herself.
Surprised when people complained about the changes.
Oh, of course, because you know nobody's ever happy.
Yep. The name of the episode is called "Vengeance Is Mine," and of course, it was written by Diana Gabaldon.
Mm-hmm.
And it just picks up right where we left off last week with Angus
being dead.
Yes.
Which is really sad. Rupert takes his sword and some things have changed. The army has, in the last couple of weeks, moved from the Battle of Prestonpans to Northern England. So they are already out of Scotland and in Northern England. So this is kind of quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, the problem is there's three huge British armies very close to where they are. They don't know where the armies are, and there's even if they were to get to London, they wouldn't be in there very long. So
no, because I mean their army is definitely not as big as the British military, which was probably the biggest military of that age. I assume.
It was considered one of the best militaries in the world at the time.
Yeah.
It was also the height of English colonization, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
America, Australia, India, all the Caribbean, you know, all these places were being run by the British Empire. It was, you know, probably the strongest part of British history as far as, you know, their empirical rule in certain areas of the world.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they have a lot of people part of the British Empire all over the world. And, you know, there's this little strange uprising happening up in Scotland. You know, so yeah. Now the prince wants to continue on. And his advisors are like, no way, we can't do this. It's just not going to work. And Jamie is on the side of the prince.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that they fought so hard to try and change fate. And it ended up not working. So Jamie's become like the biggest Jacobite ever. But I think it's because he's just wanting to ensure that Culloden doesn't happen. But the more he works with the prince, the more he realizes that Culloden is going to happen. And, you know, you can see the optimism that they're going to change the future just dwindling.
Gracie?
What?
What did you call it?
What?
Culloden?
I said Culloden.
No, it's Culloden.
Okay, well, I have a country accent.
Okay.
And when I read it, I say Culloden. Okay, I'm very sorry, Scottish people. Please forgive me.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be... just so people
smart
know.
Smart ass and making fun of me.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, Miss Jack Black Randall.
Okay. just so everybody knows, I like have been gone all weekend, so I am pretty exhausted. I'm trying to like sound as upbeat as possible, but I just slept in a tent for the last 3 days. It was horrible, but some pretty awesome music at that music festival. Anyways, sidetracked as usual. We'll go into what we were talking about.
Yes, full disclaimer. I am recording in my house, and we have a new puppy, and so she's very active. So if you hear any background noise, it's probably her. Just a little FYI.
Yeah. So kind of continuing on, the prince obviously does not want to turn back, but they kind of have to. So at that point, Claire is, you know, checking people's oral health. And she's pulling some teeth of like one woman, because that's what you did when a tooth is rotten. You have to pull it out and get it like replaced. I mean, back then, of course, they didn't have fillings like the things we have now. But yeah, so she pulls out this one woman's tooth, and then Rupert.
Pliers.
Yeah, with pliers. Ugh, ugh, it's horrible.
My dad used to joke about how when I had a loose tooth as a kid, he would talk about how he's going to get his rusty ass pliers and pull them out of my head. So.
Oh my god, that's horrifying.
Yeah, I know. He was just doing it to be an asshole. Happy Father's Day. Love you, Dad.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so, and then Rupert ends up making a joke about Angus having had his teeth knocked in by a horse. And he tells the little boy, where the mother of the little boy is like, how, you know, like covers his ears and like turns away and does the sort of thing.
Not that it matters, because when Claire tried to look at that kid's teeth, that kid was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
And she's like, not everyone gets a tooth pulled.
Yeah, exactly.
Full disclosure, dentists are the worst, because no matter what, when you go to a dentist, there's going to be pain. So.
What kind of dentist are you going to? Like, I've never experienced pain at the dentist. Not until afterwards, you know, when my teeth, or no, the gums and stuff unfreeze. But
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
you know that when you go to the dentist, you know, the only time your teeth or gums won't hurt is when you get a cleaning. But if you get a cavity or something filled, it's going to hurt after you leave and the numbness wears off.
That's true.
And if they don't numb your mouth enough, I've had that happen. That wasn't fun.
Well, that has happened to me, because like I had to go and get two of my back teeth filled in, and that was, I don't know, that was a horrible experience. They still can hurt sometimes, but that's if I don't floss right. Not that anybody really needed to know that.
Don't worry. Apparently, I have something called periodontal disease, because I hadn't been to the dentist in like 10 years.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I go to get my teeth cleaned, and he's like, when's the last time you got your teeth cleaned? And I was like, I don't know, when I was 11?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because we're poor.
Oh no. That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, but not as brutal as, you know, 18th century dental hygiene, so.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those moments where, you know, after Rupert says that, it's kind of like, aw, Rupert, he really misses his friend, you know. So.
Everybody misses Angus.
Yeah, we all do.
My guy friend just watched Prestipans. He's a week behind, you know, and he was not too happy to find out that Angus was dead. He didn't take it well. He was like, fuck this show. And then he was talking about how he was in an emotional fetal position. And I was like, that's relatable.
Yeah, pretty much. It really
does.
Not
a physical fetal position, but like your insides are just all curled up because you're so sad.
Yeah. That's how I felt. It was like kind of one of those moments where I was like, oh my god. Ah. Well, because of the blood part, you know.
Yeah, there's more of that this episode.
I actually wasn't flinching too much, but that means the therapy's working, so.
Full Game of Thrones this week.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so kind of going back, they end up having to turn back, and then it kind of like changes where Jamie's kind of being sweet and talking in Gaelic too.
Oh, is that when she's sleeping?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was the sweetest scene ever. People have been complaining about how we don't really get to see Jamie's very religious side and his very romantic side because all of that has to take second place to the plot line in order to advance it. So, of course, Diana Gabaldon wrote this episode, so we get to see that deep religious man talking to God about protecting his woman in Gaelic, and oh man.
Oh, it was really sweet.
That was better than any sex that's in the show.
Yeah.
Like,
'Cause like it, you really get to see that side of Jamie that, you know,
he's very pious and he loves Claire with all of his heart.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's better than seeing them do the nasty.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I mean, you know, yeah, every so often I would like to see, you know, a little bit of his ass, but I mean, it doesn't really put anything forward with the plot at this point. Like there's a lot of stuff going on and, you
Yeah,
know, to
any
have
sex scene I feel like right now would be gratuitous. Like, I know there's one more sex scene this season. I don't know if it's coming next episode or the episode after that. But it's really like the last time they have sex before she, you know, goes back to Frank, which was already spoiled in the first episode, so we know that's coming. So don't email me about how mad you are that I spoiled it for you. It
Oh.
was there in the first
Yeah,
episode.
exactly. Surprise. So yeah, that just very sweet moment. Anyways, the next morning, Dougal comes in and he s says that the advisors to the prince are making him and Jamie go to Inverness, which means that they are being exiled in a sense. To, you know,
Because, and it's because Jamie stood up for Bonnie Prince Charlie, you know.
yeah,
But of
exactly.
course, Charlie stole his horse and speared it away.
Jerk.
I know, right?
Yeah,
What a
no kidding.
dick.
He really is. He's like, you know, I've said it over and over again, but he is a character I do not like.
And bravo to Andrew Gower for making him so freaking horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Like
So annoying.
he's like one of those moments where you're like, ugh, God, the prince is back on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. That's the feeling you get. And it's like, ugh, sick to your stomach.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, there's a bit of traveling, 'cause in this episode there's a lot of traveling scenes where just you know, and we get to see the landscape of Scotland, so that's kind of important to, you know, see that part of it. And then there's an attack by the Redcoats, and they, at that point, Claire was pulling something out of one of the guy's finger or something, and then she pours some whiskey onto it. Because, she said that I want to give you a tetanus shot, and the guy's like, well, I would love a shot of, you know, whatever you got. And she's like, whiskey's the only thing I've got, and then pours it right into the open wound. So
I know her. There's another part of this episode where she has like a modern day kind of, you know, wink and nod, and the guys around her are just clueless.
well, yeah, we'll actually talk about that in a sec, but so yeah, there's an attack, and while they are running for their lives, Rupert gets hit in the face by a musket ball in the eye.
The eye, man, of all
Ugh.
things.
Yeah.
Of course, when they go to, you know, pry it out, he's still got that sense of humor, you know? He's talking about, at least they didn't shoot me in my good eye.
Yeah, no kidding. Like I that was like another moment where I was like, oh God, it's so gross, but you know, I was able to watch it. But as she's as Claire, you know, after she pulls out the musket ball, she ends up saying to him that you know, we're gonna get you all right, proper black patch like a pirate. And he's like, what? Pirates have black patches? And she's like, yeah, that peg legs and parrots. And he's like, what are you talking about, you daft woman?
Yeah, like The idea of the stereotypical pirate didn't really catch on, I don't think, until Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, which was a 19th century novel.
Yeah,
Like,
which makes sense. I mean, the goal.
that was the original pop culture pirate, eye patch, peg leg, parrot,
Now, the
thing.
actual golden age of pirates, though, happen maybe 30 years before this takes place. Like, that was the golden age of when the pirates were, before they were
Yeah.
all being hanged.
And most of those pirates were actually former, privateers that really loved, privateering. And then when the treaties got signed, they were out of a job. So they just started doing it illegally instead.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what you do. And isn't there a famous pirate that's from South Carolina?
Yes, and his name is Bonnet, which is very much like the other Bonnet that happens later on in the books.
But we're not going to spoil anything, are we?
No. Just
So.
know that from what I've read, Diana Gabaldon actually based some of her bonnet off of the historical bonnet. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah, you can Google that if you want to, but no spoilers here.
Yeah. So anyways, at that point, the when they're in the church, the redcoats surround them, right? And they're like, you're gonna surrender. There's not really any other way of them, leaving other than prisoner exchange, because Claire is English and she's gonna, her idea is to go with the English, so that, and pretend like she was, kidnapped or whatever, which she's done a few times before. So she goes off screaming, and Jamie is not into this. He is
Like,
like,
oh, nah, bitch, you ain't doing nothing. And she's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
listen, sweetheart, this is the only way that your ass doesn't get, a short drop and a sudden stop. So.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, there is that, quick there's an exchange, and then the Highlanders are able to go on their way. Now, one of the things that because Jamie goes after Claire, and Rupert says to him, if you do find Claire, give her a wink for me, after he
Oh
just lost his eye.
my God. I was hoping you caught that. I was like, that was funny.
Yeah.
Let's it's the man has not lost a sense of humor. And you know what? I gotta tell you have to have a sense of humor when you've went through so much shit like he has.
Yeah, no
I'm
kidding.
It's probably more of a defense mechanism than anything, but God love the man. He needs it.
Pretty much. So then Claire goes off with the English, and they end up, traveling a bit more, and then they stop at like this, an inn, and they order some food and drinks for her. And then, wasn't there? Yeah, there was like one officer that says to Claire, "Is like, you look like you need to be warmed up." And then he like lifts his leg up, in
Oh.
like this, like, "Hey, look at me, girl. What's up?" And
Hey,
she's
you
like.
want some of this? You know it. Yeah,
That
I
was
know.
pretty
I was
much,
like, no.
that was pretty much, like the equivalent of how guys send dick pics now. So,
Yes, unsolicited advances turns into unsolicited dick pic.
yeah. If there are any guys listening, don't send a girl a dick pic. We don't want to look at your junk, okay? It's just,
Yeah,
we're not like, ooh, dick pic. That's all I ever wanted. Your dick is my perfect match.
yeah, that's not what happens. I'm sorry. Dicks are just not attractive.
No, either are vaginas, but whatever. Well,
Be
that's the thing. Like,
attractive.
what? Do guys want us to start taking pictures of our hoo-ha and just send those?
No,
Without.
because then they'd use them for revenge porn websites.
Yeah, but how will they know that it's you if your face isn't in the picture? That's right.
It's just like that story You actually sent it to me where a girl got an unsolicited dick pic, and so she looked up big dicks online and started sending dick pics back to him. And it's like, I thought this meant we were friends.
Yeah, and she just continues sending them on and on for, and he's like, ew, what the hell? I'm not gay or whatever, right? And she's like, I thought we were friends. I thought this was what friends do. We send each other dick pics.
And she's like, oh, these are bigger than yours. Do you want me to give you smaller ones? So then she sends him small dick pics and it's like, here, these are smaller than yours, but not by much. And then he's like, please don't share my dick pic with everyone. And she's like, but why? You sent it to me and I'm a random stranger. Oh my God. It was totally the funniest thing I've read in a really long time.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's basically what the British soldier was. He's what we refer to in the millennial term as a fuck boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a fuckboy is someone that does stupid shit like that.
Yeah, fuckboys. They were in every century. Especially the Roman one, because we all know that Caligula was the original fuckboy. Anyways, let's stop going into this tangent and we'll continue on with what we were talking about. Oh,
a lovely older person from the past, and his name is Human Roe.
Isn't his, wasn't he called Horrocks as well?
No, Horrocks was the name of the soldier that tried to kill Jamie and blackmail him and shit.
Oops. Okay, well, Monroe.
Yeah,
yay, Monroe's back.
Yes. And Claire cleverly tells him that they're not going to Belmont. Or they're not going to Hazelmere, they're going to Belmont instead. And she manages to get that information to Hugh. Because the British soldiers have no idea that she knows him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think that he's just some nasty old beggar, but she knows him. And so she's able to get the message across. And she knows that Hugh will find Jamie and tell him.
Yeah, exactly. So then they go to Belmont. And there is a British nobleman that lives there. And he just so happens to be somebody that we know.
Ugh, and loathe. Yes. And that would be the Cowardly Lion himself.
The Duke of Sandringham.
Yeah. And he is. That is like the best visual metaphor I have ever seen.
He really does look like him.
Except the Cowardly Lion, of course, had more chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me at him.
So, oh my God. The Duke does recognize Claire, of course.
And the first thing they say is, I need a drink.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, he doesn't mention to the British that he knows her. So they both end up having a drink at some point. Now, as they're, having the drink, she notices that the Duke only has one servant. And that's a bit strange because he's a Duke. He's supposed to, you know, be rich and have this fabulous, you know, life with people waiting on him hand and foot, right?
Yep. Turns out that he got caught being a Jacobite supporter. And so...
Gone to the Tower of London.
Yes, of course. And so he was there at the Tower of London, and then when he was released, he was basically, you know, his house was being used as a barracks, pretty much, with guys camping out all over in the British Army.
So essentially he's being watched, and he's on house arrest, in a sense.
They don't trust his ass,
nope.
Which they shouldn't.
He's
a slippery old fox. He is more of an old fox than,
the
you
old
know,
fox.
Lord love it.
He also mentions that, you know, something about the redcoats, and he makes the old joke that, you know, how are they, obviously we see them with those coats.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bright red coats. What did they think? They were going to have guerrilla warfare? Uh-uh.
Well, in American history, one of my favorite stories is how the Continental Army would say that the British had really good target were really good targets because they wore the red coats with the white straps over those coats, and so they were walking targets. You know, all you had to do was straight shoot for the center of the X, and you got them in the body. You know, so.
No, it just makes me think of okay, there's this like old Canadian sitcom called Black Fly, right? And it's like nobody's ever seen it because it's but it had like Colin Mochrie in it and Ron James. Now in one of the episodes, and I'll always remember this, Colin Mochrie plays a guy with like a red coat, but he accidentally washes the red coat and it turns pink. Or whatever. And anyways, they made the joke of like, the pink coats are coming, the pink coats are coming. How scary is that? You know, so God, I really want to watch this show 'cause the show was only on for 2 seasons, but it was canceled 'cause of low ratings. Canadian shows are pretty good. We just get really low ratings and nobody watches them and it sucks.
Yeah, well. Anyway, we actually get to see someone else this episode, you know?
Yeah, yes, we do.
Little Mary, you know, remember her? She's obviously gotten a little bit more confident, and she is so happy to see Claire. I don't blame her. Turns out that she's actually the Duke's goddaughter.
Goddaughter. Yeah.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Yes. And she is to be married to a merchant. You know, despite, and obviously she doesn't want to marry this guy because, you know, she doesn't love him.
Opportunistic, his fortune hunter, you know.
Yeah.
He'll marry her just because she's, just because of her connections. So, I don't blame her. I wouldn't want to marry anybody without love either.
So, now she talks to Mary for a little bit, but then, she talks to the Duke again. And it seems that his manservice or his valet has something, has a scar on his hand that just so happens to be the exact same one as the people who, or the guys who had attacked them in Paris, her and Mary, way back in what, episode 4?
It was when they had that big dinner
Yeah.
that ended in disaster. And it turns out that in order to repay the Comte Saint-Germain, the Duke, because he owed him a lot of money, the Duke said the Comte wanted Claire dead. And the Duke was like, no, we couldn't kill her. You know, let's have her get raped instead, you know,
Oh, yeah.
longer lasting. Yeah, it's fucking awful, disgusting piece of shit.
Yeah, so, and at that point, you know, she's like, your own goddaughter, you know, you did that too, and it's
And
like
he's like, oh, well, that was, you know, not
unfortunate, you know.
what an unfortunate incident. But hey, you know what? I almost got what I wanted. Ugh, God.
Yeah.
I am.
So, yeah, the Duke shows off his true colors, and it turns out that he has set a trap for Jamie so that Jamie will be taken by the redcoats because there is a price on his head.
Yes, Jamie has managed to accumulate another price on his head. Good on him. He's
And
all.
of course, the Duke is like, how romantic would it be if you guys were both hanged side by side? And it's like,
Yes,
ugh.
because the way he put it was, Red Jamie, and his treacherous, treasonous British wife or something like that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, now she she had written a note to be given to the Duke's
messenger
to be delivered to Monroe, and that actually does deliver it, and mentions that, you know, usually I get a tip on delivery, but Monroe doesn't exactly have money. Monroe gets this note to Jamie and Murtaugh, and turns out Claire's Gaelic is really bad.
It's hilarious watching them read it. It's like, she spelled help wrong too.
Yeah. Now, after that,
that was a funny moment.
Yeah, it was. You know, a very light moment for all the stuff that's gonna happen. Now, Claire is trying to escape, and she had been locked into her room, and Mary comes in through like a secret wall, and she's like, "Oh, what? You're locked in here?" And Claire's like, Mary wants to go with Claire, and Claire's like, "Well, you have to do this." And
they're like, "But I don't want to." "Well, then stay here, bitch. I ain't waiting around on your ass."
Yeah, pretty much. So,
but Mary ends up helping her out.
Yeah, but anyway, so the Duke, as she's trying to escape, the Duke is sitting by the fireplace in the kitchen's eating, and Not wearing a wig. She's been caught. And then that's when Mary starts deciding to help a little bit, because she ends up getting the information out to Monroe, who's at the front door after Monroe hits a guy or a red coat on the head. Yeah. And
she manages to distract the attention of that, you know, disgusting rapist Frenchman.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
So then Jamie's there.
Yeah, she gets dragged downstairs by the French guy.
Yeah.
And she's about to go back upstairs, and then boom, the door opens and in comes Jamie. Dagger at the ready, and then Claire gets yanked up by the French guy with a knife to her throat, and Murtaugh comes in from another way. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's like everything's coming to, you know, the natural, like, end, and, you know, things are going to be great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so Claire mentions that the Frenchman was the man who had attacked them in Paris, right? And the Frenchman, you know, says about, you know, his employer. And Mary is listening to this and finding out that, you know, basically her godfather was the one up who did this to her.
Yeah, and then little sweet innocent Mary
Hawkins stabs the Frenchman in the back and
kidney.
Okay, yeah.
Stabs it looked him like it was the side towards the back. It was probably a kidney shot.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's... Angus, God rest his soul, would have been proud.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he would. So stabs him in the kidney, and then the Frenchman,
Duke, of course, is begging for his life. Like, "Oh, Jamie, I didn't mean it. You know that. I didn't mean it. I would have never meant any harm. Blah, 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 blah." And then, hack!
Damn, Murtaugh.
Murtaugh comes at it, and it's GOT up in Outlander. Slam! Slam! Blood everywhere.
It's nasty.
It's gory. And then he yanks the head off of the now dead Duke of Sandringham, places it in front of a very pale Mary and, you know, very shocked looking Claire, and says, "I paid my debt. I did what I said I was going to do."
Well, yeah, because he had promised that he was going to get men.
He said to have that man's head on a pike or something like that, way back in like episode 2.
Yeah. And he did.
And he did. He followed through on that promise. And then Mary's like, I think we better get out of here.
And that's how the episode ends.
Yep. Good on Murtaugh.
Yeah, exactly. God, that was like a lot happened in that episode, but it didn't take long to explain it.
No. It was a good episode, you know. We did see some interesting activity on Twitter. The Twitter war has pretty much died down between the anti-shippers and the shippers. There's little flares up every now and then. But some woman, her last name was Baloney, at least on Twitter, tweeted Meryl, who's one of the executive producers for the show, about the lack of sex, and she put it down as it being slut shaming for them not to include sex between two married people. Yeah. That was the interesting tweet I saw this week.
Okay, well, what? That's
I
just
know, I know.
ridiculous.
I can't wrap my head around how she considers that slut shaming.
I don't. Slut
Personally,
shaming is
I
like
don't.
when, if you were like, oh, Claire having sex and enjoying it, with, two men that are both, her husband, or she's, married to a man who, is now her husband, but even though she has another husband, that would be kind of slut shaming. This is just, you're being a horny
I mean,
fangirl.
you're just being,
A
I
horny
guess,
fangirl.
well, childish is the word I would use. I don't know how old this woman was, but it seems very childish to complain about a lack of sex, which you don't want sex in a show just to be gratuitous. And the great thing about the Outlander sex scenes is that they're not gratuitous. None of them have been gratuitous. They've all had a purpose. You know, it's not just wanting to see boobs and, you know, ass on screen. Like, they each have a purpose and they mean something when they, you know, when they happen. That's true intimacy. I will admit that I don't like the dry spell that much either, but I understand why they're not showing a lot of sex compared to other shows that are rated mature and on these premium networks. I mean, we don't want Outlander to be Game of Thrones, aka, you know, Game of Tits and Dragons, you know?
Tits and dragons.
Tits and Dragons. That's what it is. Well, it hasn't been this season, but that's for
I don't
another.
know. I haven't watched this season because,
Very little nudity, no sex scenes. It's been interesting. It's like D&D, DB Wise and David Benioff listened to the audience last year after all the outrage. It's amazing. It's much better than last season. Last season was just horrible. But that is another show that we are not really talking about.
No, exactly. Gracie, can you tell us where people can find us?
Yes. You want to check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/OutlanderSassenachPage. You want to check out our Tumblr, which is outlandersassenach.tumblr.com. Email us with any questions or comments at outlandersassenach@gmail.com. It's all one word. And our blog, which I've been very busy and have not updated in a few weeks, but it's outlandersassenach.blogspot.com if you want to check out our archives there. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week, and hopefully, I won't be so freaking tired that I'm about to fall
Yes,
over.
and we'll all cry collectively in knowing that there's only two episodes left.
Yeah,
So
that's true. Aww.
it's gonna be awful.
Yeah, but we're gonna continue on with the podcast, and we'll come up with some great other things to talk about Outlander related
All
and more
righty,
in
so
depth.
you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.